This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yeah, that's what we do. We bust pencils. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Happy Saturday. It's the weekend. Dr. Johnny, Jess, loving this. You know, it's winter, though, for sure. But, man, I love me a Saturday because, well, you know what? Actually, anybody listening to this right now is going like, Tim, you don't do crap all week anyway. What the heck are you tired about, man?
That's not true.
No, but I, you know, hey, actually, I'll be honest with you guys. When I'm fully engaged, I'm kind of one of these people that a day off with nothing to do creates anxiety for me.
For like sure. I can see that.
You know, sitting peacefully contemplating, not good for me, because my contemplations typically end with disaster.
Well, Tim, come on, man. Let's get, look, here we are. You know, we're going to talk about some awesome things today. And I'm going to say after this show, Tim, I'm going to give you a little homework.
Oh, nice.
During the week, because there's a lot of good contemplating to do. What if certain things come to fruition that have been on the table? And we're going to be talking about a lot moving forward here with Busted Pencils. But there's a lot of talk about what's happening at the U.S. Department of Education. So, Tim, a little homework assignment for you, you know, okay, to avoid that panic fiction, you know, that comes up midweek or anytime during the week. I'm just going to say, hey, man, take a deep breath and think about what could be, what ought to be, what might be happening with the creative. I'm going to be really kind about changes in this country, the creative possibilities with the U.S. Department of Education. We're going to talk a little bit about that today, listeners, some more. Hey, folks, if you want to, you know it, you can always call or text us and leave us a message in our mailbag at 608-557-8577. Or if you're listening live now and you want to hop on the horn and just be part of things and leave your comment there, you can also call today on Saturday, 855-752-4842.
Well, you can
and
text. You know what?
I was going to say, I'm old guy. I think if you're using a phone, you're making a call, but really, I mean, text us at that number. It's a text only number, but it's 855-752-4842. Bust some pencils with us. Tim, it's been buzzing around. Everything we've been talking about in some way, shape or form has rubbed up against what's happening with the U.S. Department of Education. I mean, we could make a whole show on just what's happening in the U.S.
What's happening in the U.S., right? You know, yeah, thinking about that, we've got a Department of Education kind of rant talking about it and things like that. But, you know, we said 2025 is going to be a year, and we said, you know, starting off, you know, we've got President-elect Trump, you know, less than 2 weeks away from truly the inauguration and all of that, where it will be official. And we know that, you know, part of the platform that he got elected on was the abolishment of the Department of Education. Whether that's going to happen or not, people are like, I don't know, that seems crazy. Well, after this week, though, because I got to take the diversion to this week. This week, President-elect Trump has pretty much declared Greenland as the next purchase of the American corporation called the United States. And then the expansion of statehood to the sovereign nation of Canada. And then the renaming of that stupid Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. And it's just like, I'm reading things going, okay, so what is he trying to make us not look at by having these types of conversations? Jess, I saw you right away do the ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. That is it. It's a distraction. It's a distraction from the fact that he can't fulfill the campaign promises that he ran on, like lowering grocery costs. It's not, he said now to an interview with Time, with was that with Time or with New York Times? He said that he can't bring it down because it's very hard to bring these things down once they go up. So Greenland, Canada, Panama.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the Panama Canal too. That's right. You know, we gotta take that back because, well, you know, for some reason the Chinese are dealing with the Panama Canal, even though it's a mess. But Johnny, you know, looking at this and just thinking about this, it's like, so the calls to abolish the Department of Education, that sounds sane. As much as you and I and Jess and a lot of Busted Pencils listeners are probably like, that's a really dumb idea. The reality of this one is, you know, kind of striking. We've done a little bit of history on that when we paid tribute to President Carter last Monday for our homeroom, and the fact that it was President Carter that brought us the Department of Education. And though as quickly as President Carter in 1979, we'd get the Department of Education, Ronald Reagan, the Republican nominee at the time, runs on the platform of getting rid of and abolishing the brand new Department of Education. So to think about that, you've got 40 years of presidential candidates, particularly Republicans, running on a platform that says, you know what, we got to get rid of this Department of Education. We've talked about it, but I came across today, you know, and people who've listened to the show know that, you know, we sometimes do some trending education news. I was like, as we start 2025, I went out to search the education news repositories and ended up finding where we typically find a lot of our news, the K12dive.com. And it's an opinion piece, but Trump wants to nix the education department. He should rebrand it instead. And that is by Haley Matz Medvin. And she's got this opinion piece. She just says, the president-elect should reimagine the agency. Reimagine. And Haley used to be a communications expert in the Department of Education during the Biden administration. So, Johnny, what are you thinking, man?
Well, Tim, you know, just to give an idea, and this has been a little bit, I don't want to say it's a distraction from the core of this, but, you know, I like to know a little bit about numbers. And recently, the conversation we've been having with people around the country that are kind of shining some light on a little discrepancy. And Jess talked about this, this upcoming administration's, you know, failure to be able to address a lot of the issues they ran on. You know, folks who supported Trump in voting for the Trump administration, by and large, supported public schools. And those two things kind of clash. But if we start to look at things in terms of the U.S. Department of Education and broadly across the country, you know, support for federal institutions has declined, I would say, pretty significantly in the last 10 years. I mean, there's a lot of factors that we can get into about that. But, you know, currently what we're seeing, right, if we look to research from the Pew Center, the Pew Research Center, you see that 45% of people in a survey, you know, in 2024, 45% found the education department unfavorable, right? And 45 unfavorable, 44 favorable. I mean, this is like unsure. And 11% actually admitted they're unsure, right? So it's kind of split like our country. If we're to, you know, I think I like to get a good baseline reading from the Pew Research Center. Sometimes I like to look at the numbers. And that tells me that by and large, folks are kind of like, hey, wait, the U.S. Department of Education is really important, or they're like, hey, wait, I don't like that about things. Reminding our listeners that education is a state right, but that the U.S. Department of Education has a history of providing some really important funding and services and, you know, structuring to what states have open to their local decisions about education. Further kind of understanding it, 64% of Republicans or Republican-leaning respondents don't support the U.S. Department of Education. They'd like to see it kind of change or go away. And 62% of the Democrats support it. So we're not seeing like massive, overwhelming support or disdain for this. So does that tell me, Tim? That tells me that there's a possible generative conversation. Yeah, we're having it here on Busted Pencils, but broadly, it's happening around our country. If it's going to be here, what is it going to do? And how do we structure it in a way that gains, by and large, more support, right? And so I think we're in a moment where I see it changing. I don't want to say I'm 100%, I got to censor myself a little bit here. I think I can say effing with, right?
Yes, you can.
I'm either effing with it or I'm GTFO with something. and so I'm not exactly effing with what this article in the K-12 dive is suggesting, but I am effing with the conversation of what would that change be like? I think it's imminent. I think it's on deck, whether it was Trump who got elected or somebody who was going to do something differently. And that's what our country needs. Not saying we need a Trump, but doing something differently for education. And so I think there is an opportunity here for folks to be in conversation, right, about what the U.S. Department of Education is going to do and how, by and large, locally, because education is a state right, are we going to assume responsibility for our public schools in a way that really invests in young people in this country? That, to me, is an important conversation.
It's an really important conversation, as you say, too. Guess what? Education, states' rights. Hey, in fact, you know what? 608-557-8577, Busted Pencils mailbag. You know, you can give us a call, leave us a message. Hey, text us, too, 855-752-4842. It is Busted Pencils, and you know what? It's Saturday, full 1 hour. We're talking about, quote, Trump wants to nix the education department. He should rebrand it instead. This is coming out of K-12 Dive, an opinion piece by Haley Matz Medvin. Give you a little bit of a history there on the Department of Education. Johnny, thank you for all of those facts, numbers there that kind of put this in perspective. The reality, though, that we want to address is this, though, is rebranding in the way this author talks about something we might be interested in. Hey, come on back. We're going to let you know. Busted Pencils. It's not killing you. It's Busted Pencils. We're doing way more. We're bringing you to life. Fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Yeah, you know, Johnny and Jess here Saturday. Loving hanging out with everybody on a Saturday. And you know what? We're moving into now. It's, guess what? We're less than 2 weeks away from having President-elect Trump be sworn in, the inauguration. It will be President Trump. And
just got nauseous.
I'm sorry, Jess. And Johnny, this is true. It's happening. It's coming. We know it. And so at this point now, it's what are we going to do with it? We're kind of doing a little history that knowing that the Department of Education, the abolishment of the Department of Education was something Trump advocated for, part of Project 2025. And also just pointing out that, you know, as far back as Ronald Reagan in 1980, conservative Republicans have used and have always looked at some form of getting rid of the Department of Education. Johnny, you talked about this, though, too, kind of framing it from the point of view of going like, hey, you got a little bit less than half the people kind of like it. You got a little less than half the people saying it's unfavorable. You got a small portion in the middle, kind of like this ambivalence of going, I don't know, what the heck. And you were talking about this, and I was just thinking about this kind of like, and isn't this a great time to do something positive and some kind of change is coming. And I was just like thinking, I'm like, okay, where you been hanging out for the last couple of days to have some form of an imagination that anything Trump wants to do with the Department of Education might be an imaginative, positive gain for America and the public education system in this country. I do agree with you going, could we make a, quote, rebranded, and we haven't even introduced the rebranding that this author is saying, a rebranded Department of Education with a new and improved mission? Yeah, I love it. But dude, I'm going to call you back to reality and say, but we've got the Trump administration coming in. And are you really holding out the possibility for something good to happen in this moment?
Well, Tim, you're kind of taking different courses of a meal and putting them all in the same bowl. Serving it to me.
That's what Tim does.
That's what I do, man.
Tim Bomb Special. But let me say this. In my lifetime, maybe pretty blunt for a minute here. In my lifetime, almost every president have said they're going to be the education president in some way, form, or another, in their words. They haven't done a whole lot different than the one before them. And that's separate from their party, from their different, you know. In fact, they've kind of steadfastly all moved towards a direction of continued privatization, you know, increased standardization, and quite bluntly, making it worse for teachers, families, and students, making it harder, putting more onus on individualized funding, right? Privatizing it and, you know, dismantling public ed, if we're to say that. Mm-hmm. That's me being hard on Obama. That's me being hard on Clinton. I mean, guys I really liked. So I'm just going to be honest about that. So no, I mean, where I've been the last couple of days, the same place I've been for the last couple of decades is saying, I hold no hope for an education president. Actually, I got to be honest. I held a little hope this summer for a Tim Walz guy in the House.
We had a little bit.
I also held a little hope when Obama was elected. And I also held a little hope with Biden because, you know, Biden's partner.
Yeah.
She's an EDD. She's an educator. So I held some hope. But what I know is, show me what you've done, not what I'm hearing you say you might do. Show me what you've done. And I don't expect Trump to do anything super helpful for education, like Trump himself or his, you know, close cronies. Mm-hmm. But what I am saying is like, hey, it is what it is right now. Continue to support democracy. Not that Trump will, but we will, because popular sovereignty isn't going anywhere just quite yet. I always say democracy is in the ICU. It's on life support. The plug hasn't been yanked. So keep doing the things that we need to do to know that popular sovereignty matters, right? Mm. In fascist times, and we're not quite in fascism, but there's hints of it, right? Things like popular sovereignty, what that means is a government for the people, by the people, is essentially democracy, right? We have a responsibility to be active. Mm. And so where I've been the last couple of days, where I've been the last couple of decades, Tim, what does it look like when educated educators get active about what schools are going to be like? Mm. So conversations like not only we have here on Busted Pencils, but when we have our guest educators amplified, or when we talk to Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, or when we're in our classrooms working with teachers, or we're in the community working with schools and communities, or we're talking to coaches and folks in the extracurriculars that we call essentials here at Busted Pencils, we're all talking about what we do and what we can do more of and how support is important for those things. So I would say I'm not optimistic for the administration. Okay. I'm just going to say, hey, I got to tune out some of the noise. And there's a lot of noise with, you know, the guy we're talking about.
Let's
tune it out and get to work.
So let's see then. Maybe this is music then coming to your ears here from Haley Matz Medvin. In fact, I'll jump to it. You know, quote from the article in K-12 Dive, her opinion piece. With Republicans in control of the White House, House, and Senate, it's not outside the realm of possibility that the drastic proposal, which is to do away with the Department of Ed, could come to fruition. But Trump prides himself on standing outside the political orthodoxy of either party. Eliminating the education department feels more like an old school Republican trope. And there's a better play for the president that the president-elect can make. As a master of branding, he should see the opportunity to rebrand the education department instead of eliminating it. Yes, Trump should reimagine the education department as the Department of American Competitiveness. A little bit of music there. I'm not sure, John, I want a big, long answer right now because I know you don't, but I'm just wondering, rebranding Department of Education, Department of American Competitiveness, is this music or is this just another? Because I've got some serious thoughts about this rebranding. I will say that when I read this article, the first thing that jumped out to me is that I'm not even sure that this opinion piece is any form of originality in rebranding itself, because it sounds to me what we're hearing a lot of happening in red states anyway, where they're looking at departments of education at the state level and turning them into departments of workforce development and then pointing the responsibility of creating workers as the main function of education, particularly public education. I'm not sure that this rebranding imagination coming out of K-12 Dive is a whole lot different. I don't know if you think about it, though. If you like this idea, hey, make sure you come back. You can also leave it to Bust of Pencils mailbag 608-557-8577. When we get back, we're going to see if Johnny hears any music. It's Busted Pencils. See you in a minute. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, though? You can always be certain. Saturdays, it's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. We are educated educators talking education. The Department of Education under President Trump. Yes, it's going to be President Trump in less than 2 weeks, everybody. Sorry, or congratulations, depending on where you were on this one. It is what it is. But the Department of Education, you know, Trump ran on abolishing it. And again, nothing new there, essentially. Republicans since the beginning of the, you know, 1 year after the establishment of the Department of Education, Ronald Reagan called for its abolition. So this isn't uniquely kind of Trumpian in the idea to call for the abolishment of the Department of Education. And so this piece that we're looking at here in K-12 Dive by Haley Metz Medvin, Trump wants to nix the education department. He should rebrand it instead. Johnny, right before the break, I revealed, you know, what this rebrand, and according to the author, she says, hey, what about the Department of American Competitiveness? And Johnny, I asked right before the break, is that music to your ears for the type of opportunity to make changes? Or is this, as they say, falling flat?
Well, Tim, I love these questions because you know you're going to try and get me to say yes or no on something that isn't going to be that way. And it's not how it works. To run with your metaphor, all music is political. Some is for the kings and the queens, and some is for the serfs on the other side of the wall. Nice. It's a blue-collar scholar here. I want to hear the music. Yes, it's music. It might not be the music that I quite vibe with, but it's time to make music about education, and that's what this author is doing. So I'm with it. I want people to throw it out there. Like, hey, throw out your idea. This author, she suggests that it's maybe a rebrand time to the Office of American Competitiveness. That's not my flavor, right? But I'm not fully against a rebrand because I'm not sure what it was doing before was what it needed to be doing. Some of the stuff was really important. We talk about civil rights. We talk about Title I. We talk about the key successes of the U.S. Department of Education. How do we continue to have those things, but to shift focus away from the standardization, the privatization, and honestly, competitiveness really gets a bad rap. And so I want us to be competitive. Like, I'm a competitive person,
yeah. Right?
But I think that in the context of a brand based on competition is antithetical to what the country and the world needs. You can be competitive without being, quote unquote, and I'm throwing up the scare quotes, competitive driven. You got to be a contender, right? And I believe that schools and children and teachers in this country are competitors on the world stage. On a preview a little bit, our guests can know this. We had a great conversation this week, and it's dropping next week in class and session. We had a great conversation with the great Dr. Howard Gardner. You might know about him from multiple intelligences, right? But he's talking about things in his more recent work, the synthesized mind, synthesizing mind, and really has a lot to offer, I think, related to this. So that's a little preview. Listen to that drop on Wednesday when it hits, class in session with Dr. Howard Gardner. But Tim, like he was saying, hey, things are working really well in Finland. Things are working really well in Singapore. There are places in the world where education is really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Their students aren't better. Their teachers aren't better. There's a different socio-political attention and support given to education. We don't need to invent anything new.
Right.
We need to bear down and really support some strong things. So we're competitors. We're contenders in the world game in education. I'll stand by great teachers in this country, awesome schools. But what I know is that we need those schools and teachers for every kid in this country.
Yeah,
and that equity across education isn't there. So I'll kind of lob it back saying, yes, it's music. I like hearing the music. It's not my vibe, not my flavor in terms of rebranding it to the, you know, to focus on competitiveness. We've got the competition. We are competitive. We need to focus on what is it we do and how do we do that? So I'm all for a rebrand. Maybe it's for, you know, the office. This would never happen under the Trump administration, but the Office for Educational Excellence and Equity, right? Something like that. But nonetheless, Tim, music is music.
Okay.
Let's have it. Let's chop it up. Let's talk. Let's have conversations about what does the U.S. Department of Education do? How can it do more better to serve the communities of this country?
Well, and so, you know, going back to the case, we'll put a little bit more, some notes and a few more instruments, since we're going with the music metaphor, to the opinion piece here. And I'm going to quote again from the article. She says, quote, if the Trump administration is serious about competing with China, tariffs won't address the underlying fact that the U.S. is falling behind on skills training. The country does not have a coherent education strategy for science, technology, engineering, and math fields. And as artificial intelligence rapidly evolves, the skills needed for the U.S. to remain the global tech leader will evolve just as quickly. And see, this is where, okay, it may be muzak, but I'm not sure it's music. Because here we go right into the, guess what? Schools are failing. Kids are being outcompeted. China. Oh, and guess what? Let's do math, science, technology, engineering. Wait a minute. What about art? What about music? What about history? What about the debate team? What about chorus? What about athletics? You know, this is not to me a rebrand. This is a reduction of a comprehensive, democratically based, equity-driven education system. This, first of all, comes under this whole idea, first of all, schools are failing, and then becomes very much about this, quote, push for hard sciences. And I got to tell you, I don't have his name right now, but the CEO of NVIDIA, the biggest maker of AI chips, was quoted, I think it was yesterday at a big AI conference, as saying, sorry, we need more historians. We need more people with music understanding. We need people with broad intelligence, because good artificial intelligence, it's not about science. It's not about math. It's not about engineering. It's about creativity. It's about true. And you know what? Yeah. Listen, Wednesday, multiple intelligences, like Dr. Howard Gardner.
The synthesized mind.
Yeah, you know, right?
I'm gonna throw some mustard on that beat. You want to stick with this music theme?
Sure.
The biggest banger of this summer, Not Like Us, is a diss track, but it also is a representation. It's a massive hit for a reason, not because it's a diss track, but because it's different and it's speaking truth. It's just unadulterated, pure hit. Straight through. The moment that song starts, it goes through. It's creative. It's intelligent. It cuts right to the bone. And that's what we need to do when we're talking about education. And I love that you brought up NVIDIA, because I think the tech industry is saying this. And I think industry has been saying this for a while, right? You need to be able to be a broad thinker, mm-hmm. right? And then we're previewing that Wednesday show, because Dr. Howard Gardner, and talk about multiple intelligences, talk about the synthesizing mind, saying that the facts, the information is all out there. It's what you do with it. Mm-hmm. We need people who can think about what to do with it, who can think broadly, who understand application and use of tools at their hands to do creative and innovative things, right? And so maybe that's the thing. It's the U.S. Department of Innovative Education, right? But I think it's important that we do remain creative. And I'm going to push, and I know this is going to be cringe for a lot of educators, because, you know, nerds love to talk about nerd stuff with other nerds, right? I'm just going to be raw about this. When you're like, the math, the science, the reading, the scores, we need to do better. It's the same old BS, mm-hmm. right? And the kids know it. I can crank into any AI tool. What does, you know, solve this quadratic equation, there right? I can even ask AI, why do I need to know the quadratic equation? Which is an important question that math teachers get all the time. And I will say a small percentage of math teachers answer.
Right.
They'll say, because.
Because I said so.
Classes. Or they'll say, it's important. Let's give some cliche answers. It's important for STEM careers, for these kinds of things. But kids see through the BS, right? And culture is seeing through the BS. So if we're going to pull the gloves off and get raw about it, stay to that mustard on the beat in that music. Let's make music that resonates, right, and harmonizes with the youth of not only this country, but the world, who is saying things like, yeah, we are creative and we want to stay creative and we want to be innovative. And we want to be, I don't want us to separate out, like, should it be workforce development or should it be creative art? Stop separating all those things out, right? You can be an artist and a plumber, right? You can be creative and a mechanic. We need plumbers. We need mechanics. We can't keep doing the same old ed thing where the nerd stuff makes you smart and smart people should have all the jobs. And that is also why President Trump is in office, because he is saying something that resonates with them.
Uh-huh.
He does it for ill intent, I'm sure. Sure of it. I'll call it out. He does it for ill intent, but he garnishes support because it resonates with a whole lot of people.
Right.
And I'm scared of that, because it's coupled in his administration with some really hateful, hurtful politics.
Mm.
But it is true that we try to do the same old thing. And when we stick with music, do we like new, innovative music that changes the world and gets us all excited and moving? Or do we like the same old cookie cutter thing? And we're done with the same old cookie cutter thing. So I'm hopeful that the rebrand, if that's what we're going to call it, is inviting us to drop diss tracks.
Nice.
Innovative, creative opportunities and proposals to do education better, to do better by the children of this country, and to say, hey, these kids are competitors. We don't need more competitiveness. We need them to be healthy, strong, and listen to what they're excited to do. Because we got some rocking future generations coming up.
I was just thinking about that. So am I hearing Dr. Johnny Lupinacci put out the kind of, you know, waving the check me out over here to potential Linda McMahon and President Trump of going, you want some rebranding? You want some real imagination in this new Department of Education? You're up for the job. Come and get me, man. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Assistant Secretary of Education, Assistant Secretary of Rebranded, you name it. Oh, I don't know, Johnny.
I am highly underqualified for that position, Tim.
Hey, the only qualification is that someone taps you.
Well, that's what I mean. I was like, I'm well out of tapping reach for that for that group. I mean, there is a strong tinge of cronyism that I'm not in the right crew for that. But what I am saying is that youth, like the youth of this country and the world, is saying really largely, we're going to do this differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk about pop culture. The biggest hit of the summer, Not Like Us, isn't just a diss track on Drake, right? It's saying by and large that young people are vibing with, we are different. We are over this being hurtful and harmful towards one another based on politics and things like that. And we need a changed world, right? And that resonates with other big hits and big changes around the world. So let's ride the wave of youth empowerment, youth voice, and let's be different about how we do education.
Ah, that's it. Johnny Lupinacci. So I'm not sure he stepped out of the volunteerism for a Department of Education position. Actually, thinking about this, you know what? If you're out there listening, President Trump and Linda McMahon, hey, Busted Pencils, you need some support on this new Department of Education. Producer Jess, Tim, Johnny, we're ready. You can tap us. It's Busted Pencils. We'll be back to close this out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're back. Tim, Johnny, and Jess, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Yeah, Saturday, loving it. Full hour. Man, enjoy this time. Just, you know, get to dig deep. And here we are, 2025. Yes, President. Yes, it's going to be President Trump. So we might as well just start saying it now. President Trump. You know, ran on the idea of doing away with or abolishing the Department of Education. You know, we've given some history, talked about the fact that, you know, ever since it began, it's been the target of conservative Republicans, you know, since Ronald Reagan. However, you know, pointing out from the piece in the K-12 dive, is this a possibility, though, instead of abolishing it, could President Trump harness this opportunity and rebrand the Department of Education as the Department of American Competitiveness? Johnny and Tim are not necessarily sure we really like that music, because when we dig deep into it, we start to realize that, uh-oh, same old crap, failing kids, failing American schools, math, science, engineering, blah, 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 blah. Not much of a rebrand as much as it just is actually coming out and bringing forward the same old kind of, you know, heck with that. Let's just get these test scores up, darn it. And it's just like, yeah, we keep, you know, again, we'll pitch it and plug it and say, you want to really get the heart of understanding what we're talking about here, man, make sure that too you tune in on Wednesday when we talk to Dr. Howard Gardner about multiple intelligences and the realities here. You know, we said even, you know, as NVIDIA, the CEO of NVIDIA is calling for more kids to graduate with that unique synthesizing mind, that idea of bringing things together, lots of knowledges, history, the arts, 608-557-8577. No, he didn't say that, but that's the Busted Pencils mailbag number. If, you know, you got something to say, we want to hear about it. 608-557-8577. So, you know, we're looking at, I don't see this, Johnny, as a golden opportunity. And I am fully in line with what you were saying. Wouldn't it be refreshing to really say, hey, let's take this opportunity and do things that we can really, and again, like our guest, you know, last week, Ira Sokol, we don't need to reinvent. Let's put together and do some of the great things that are happening. What's happening in Finland that's awesome? What's happening in Singapore that's awesome? Guess what? What's happening right here in America in those, quote, what they call alternative education places where Ira got the ability to finally be seen and be a learner because of his ability to understand things differently than other kids did in the traditional way. I do, man. I can get excited about 2025 because this is where I see you, the Busted Pencil listener out there, of going, let's get behind this movement to say, you know what? We're not going to come out this and just say, hey, man, we need to save the status quo. It's not about saving the status quo. It's about saving public education for sure, but realizing that, man, we could do it a lot better. We stay connected and true to the foundational ideas of democracy, but then really innovate the ideas of learning and the ability for children to learn, to dig deep. Johnny, I don't know if that kind of gets more to the heart of your vision.
I'm just thinking about the CEO of NVIDIA, Tim, and your leather jacket guy, man. I was distracted by that, but I mean, I like it. I think it's a time of contributing to, like you said, in the metaphor of the show, the music. Keep making music, be creative, get your voice out there. We actually really need to have this conversation more often. What do we do and how do we do it for all of our schools in a way that really brings up the importance of education? Like, let's make this the era of ending schooling and focusing on education.
Nice.
And now, well, go ahead, my man.
Just saying, man, you know, sorry, I had to jump in there. I agree 100%. Johnny, take it away.
And now for your moment of zen. I can understand pessimism, but I don't believe in it. It's not simply a matter of faith, but of historical evidence. Not overwhelming evidence, just enough to give hope. Because for hope, we don't need certainty, only possibility.
Ah, yeah, love that again, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on a Saturday. Lots going on. Man, think about it, you know, great show today. Go back, though. Hey, take a listen to our show last Saturday, episode with Ira Sokol. Love that great show. And then, man, coming up for the week, guess what? You know, Monday, homeroom. Wednesday, classes in session. We gave you a little bit of a kind of a preview on that. Yeah, Dr. Howard Gardner, multiple intelligences. Friday's face-offs and free throws. Johnny, it's been, you know, we're back, man. 2025, Jess, I am so happy to be here with you guys, always doing this incredibly wonderful work. Johnny?
Yeah, Tim, and just want to remind our listeners and just recenter us on that fact. Take a deep breath. It's 2025, and our guests, as well as some of you listeners, have been naming the moment, and a theme in naming the moment has been, hey, it's the best of times and the worst of times. Simultaneously, it's a yin-yang moment, friends. So we want you here for it. Be part of that conversation. Thanks for listening, and keep busting pencils.